Well, welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this 20th day of January, 2024. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, those listening to the recording. Glad to have each one of you in fellowship today. Our opening song for our service is titled Trust and Obey. Since God never lies, then everything he tells us we can trust and follow. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief for a loss, not a frown or a cross, but his blessing we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, all for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Then in fellowship soon we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
And thank you, Father, for being so faithful, for being so trustworthy, that what you tell us, we can follow without any fear, without any doubts, and please increase our faith. And thank you, Father. Well, dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for thy infinite love, for thy watchful care over us, for thy concern over our welfare, not just presently, but also for eternity. Thank you for sending Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life for us. Help us to understand the words of life that he has shared with us that are found in thy word of inspiration. And please, Father, pour your spirit out upon each listening heart. Please, Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error. Please reprove, correct, and instruct us in the way of righteousness. And continue to uplift the Savior before us. Please fill us and plant Jesus on the throne of our hearts. Help us to fall more in love with him and the truth that he died to give to us and to set us free. And thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for another day of life, another blessed opportunity to come together from our worries and cares and perplexities, and to sit at the feet of Jesus and to learn of him from his word. Thank you for this blessed opportunity. And please help us to be in the right frame of mind that we may gain the most of this time, the greatest blessing possible, and indeed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Be with those that are still in darkness, and please enable them to come into contact with the light of truth, that they may escape from the darkness and walk into thy marvelous light. Thank you for speeding thy messengers on their way. Thank you for raising up more and sending them into thy harvest field. Thank you that we're a day closer to the ending of this great controversy and the coming of our Savior to take us home. Help us to be ready, to be watching, to be working, and to be praying. And thank you for waking us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our sermon today is part two of the day of worship God has chosen. Not what man has chosen, but what God has chosen. And last Sabbath we learned about the special holy day which the Lord God of heaven has chosen as his worship day. And we saw that this holy and sacred day of the Lord began on the seventh day of creation, and then continue to reoccur every seventh day or every Saturday of each week. We then discovered that after sin had entered into the world, that those who chose to rebel and to disobey God chose a different worship day in honor of their pagan deities. And since most of the ancient civilizations worshiped the sun god, then they chose the day of the sun, or Sunday, as the worship day to honor him. But those who chose to remain loyal and obedient to God kept his holy Sabbath day. So this fact made it very plain between who were worshiping the God of heaven versus who were not worshiping the God of heaven, but a different so-called God. And so the day of worship became a sign or a mark between the followers of God and the followers of other gods. And this fact remains today. If you look at quote number one, and for those that would like to follow along with these quotes, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID334.htm. So lightministries.com/ID334.htm. If you look at quote number one, from Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Moreover also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So the day of worship showed who was worshiping the God of heaven, the God of creation, versus those that were worshiping other gods. But not everybody understands this truth. And many have been taught that it doesn't matter which day of the week you keep holy to God, as long as you choose one day out of the week. And others have various major reasons why they believe that the seventh day Sabbath is no longer of the same importance as it was before Christ was born, had died, and then was resurrected and ascended to heaven. They think that there's been a change. And so we examine one of these major reasons that people have against God's Sabbath today. And this reason that we examined last time was that since Revelation 1:10 declares that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that people then claimed that the Lord's Day was the first day of the week, or was Sunday. But we then learned that the Bible declares that the seventh day of the week is the true rest day which God reserved to himself when he gave to man the other 6 days as working days, which is Ezekiel 46 verse 1. And that God calls this seventh day my holy day. So out of all the days of the week, the only holy day God has chosen is Saturday. And we discover that this teaching of the Lord's Day being on Sunday and not Saturday was not found written anywhere in the scriptures, but that its first appearance was found in the writings of Catholic church fathers in the first and second centuries AD. So then this shows us that this belief that God's holy worship day has been changed from Saturday to Sunday is not a doctrine of God taught in the scriptures, but it's a doctrine taught by the Roman Catholic Church. And we then realize that as this is true, then for any non-Catholic or any Protestant to use the argument that the Lord's Day of Revelation 1:10 was a Sunday and not a Saturday, they would be forced to rely upon the teachings of Catholicism and not upon the truth found in God's holy scriptures in order to back this argument up. But what about other major reasons why people believe that the seventh day Sabbath is no longer of the same importance as it was before Christ was born, died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. Now, if you look at quote number 2, another reason why people believe that God's seventh-day Sabbath is not on Saturday today is that they claim that no one really knows when the original seventh day of the week occurs on today. So then each person is free to decide for themselves which day of the week they will keep sacred to God as his Sabbath. And Sunday is as good as any other day to keep holy. But when you explore into this area, you'll begin to understand that there has been no time lost since creation took place all the way up to the present time. So this would mean that the same seventh-day weekly cycle that was established at creation is the very same seven-day weekly cycle that we continue to observe today. Even though the names of the days of the week have been changed, depending on the particular calendar that's used, the timing of these 7 days have never changed. The names have been changed, but not the time in which these days occur. We're told in Nature, and this is an article that was titled Our Astronomical Column, London, number 127, published June 6, 1931, and this is page 869. Some of these, referring to the Jews and many other Christians, accept the week as of divine institution with which it is unlawful to tamper. Others, without these scruples, still feel that it is useful to maintain a time unit that, unlike all others, has proceeded in an absolutely invariable manner since what may be called the dawn of history. Another quote is from Dr. Frank Edgar Hinckley in the Watchman magazine, July 1926. And at that time, Dr. Hinckley was a well-known astronomer that was at Harvard Observatory. He states this: by calculating the eclipses, it can be proven that no time has been lost and that the creation days were 7, divided into 24 hours each. Another quote is from Joshua's Long Day and the Dial of Ahaz, Part 1, was a discussion that was titled The Week Unbroken. It occurs on page 78 to 79 by Dr. Charles Adiel Lewis Totten. It was published by the Our Race Publishing Company in New Haven, Connecticut in 1890. And Dr. Totten was professor of military science at Yale University. And he states this: in spite of all our dickerings with the calendar, it is patent that the human race never lost the centenary or 7-day sequence of weekdays, and that the Sabbath of these latter times comes down to us from Adam through the ages without a single lapse. Now, when the calendar was changed from the Julian to the Gregorian, if you look at quote number 3, when it was changed from Julian to Gregorian back in the 16th century, it was discovered that the Julian calendar was off 10 days from the actual solar year and that it needed to be corrected. And it was corrected. But the same weekly 7-day cycle was not altered, even though 10 days were added to the Gregorian calendar. Thursday, October 4, 1582 in the Julian calendar, was immediately followed by Friday, October 15, 1582 in the Gregorian. So this meant that the same weekly cycle from Sunday to Saturday was not altered, even though 10 days were added onto the calendar. The weekly 7-day cycle remained unaltered. We're told in Catholic Encyclopedia under Chronology, Volume 3, page 740. It is to be noted that in the Christian period, the order of days in a week has never been interrupted. Thus, when Gregory the 13th reformed the calendar in 1582, Thursday, October 4 was followed by Friday, the 15th of October. So in England, in 1752, Wednesday, the 2nd of September was followed by Thursday, the 14th of September. Another quote, this is from James Robertson in a personal letter dated March 12, 1932. And Dr. Robertson was director of the American Ephemeris Navy Department, U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. He states this. There has been no change in our calendar in past centuries that has affected in any way the cycle of the week. Another quotation. This is from Edward Ballard in Report of the Reform of the Calendar, page 52. It was a document produced by the League of Nations, published August 17, 1926 at Geneva. And Mr. Ballard was director of the Paris Observatory. The continuity of the week, which is without a doubt the most ancient scientific institution bequeathed to us by antiquity. So his statement was that the weekly cycle has been unaltered. Another statement, this is from Professor M. Anders Donner in Report of the Reform of the Calendar, page 51. This was a document produced for the League of Nations, published August 17, 1926 at Geneva. And Professor Donner had been a professor of astronomy at the University of Helsingfors, Finland. And he states the following. The division of the week, which has been followed for thousands of years and therefore has been hallowed by immemorial use. So no change. Now, some may not believe this fact that there has been no time lost since creation. But God himself reveals to all of his people what day of the week today is the seventh day of the week, or the true Sabbath worship day of God. So even though you may believe that there has been time lost, yet God himself proves to you which day of the week is his Sabbath today. You look at quote number 4. When the Savior, Christ Jesus, was on the earth, he declared himself to be the Lord even of the Sabbath day. That's Matthew 12:8. And as the Lord God of the Sabbath day, Jesus definitely knew on which day of the week the Sabbath day of creation occurred on, and therefore which day of the week was to be kept holy as a worship day to God. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, so he knew which was the Sabbath day. And which day did Jesus keep holy as the Sabbath day? The Bible shows us in Mark 1, verse 21, Mark 6 verse 2, Luke 4 verse 16, Luke 4 verse 31, Luke 6 verse 6, and Luke 13 verse 10, that Jesus kept the Sabbath day on the seventh day of the week. But there's others who believe that since we use a different calendar today than what Christ used in his day, then how do we know today in our modern calendars which is the seventh day Sabbath? Which day did Christ keep in his day in our day? And God also shows us in the events surrounding the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, which day of the week today is God's holy Sabbath day during the time of Christ. In Mark 15, verses 42 to 43, and verse 46. And now when the even, or sunset, was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. Okay, so the day before the Sabbath, this was done. In Luke 23, verse 54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. So the Sabbath was about to begin. Then in John 19, verse 31 and verses 41 to 42. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So these verses show us that Christ was crucified on the sixth day of the week, or the preparation day, which was the day before the Sabbath was to occur. Now, if you look at quote number 5, the Bible then records that Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week, which was the day after the Sabbath had passed. We're told in Matthew 28, verses 1 to 6, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Another passage, this is from Mark 16, verses 1 to 2 and verse 9. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. We're also told in Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And then in John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So we see the same story, the same events relayed in all four Gospels. And these inspired passages show us that Christ was resurrected on the first day of the week, which was the day after the Sabbath had passed and was over. So this plain knowledge that Christ arose from the tomb early on Sunday morning, many refer to today as Easter, such as Acts 12 verse 4. So then with this factual knowledge of Bible truth, it becomes easy for us to determine which days of the week in our modern calendar correspond with the days of the week anciently. If you look at quote number 6. Since Christ arose on the day which we call Sunday today, this day corresponds to the first day of the week anciently, or the day after the Sabbath had passed. So then the day which we call Saturday in our modern calendar would correspond to the seventh day of the week anciently, which was the entire day that Christ rested in the tomb. And the day which we call Friday in our modern calendar corresponds to the sixth day of the week anciently, or the preparation day that was the day before the Sabbath was to occur. So with this knowledge, just strictly from the scriptures, any who desire to follow and serve God with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and out of love for what he has done and is continuing to do for them, they will see that the seventh day Sabbath of God today falls on Saturday, the day after Friday, and the day before Sunday. So then the Sabbath day of God has not changed its seventh place in the weekly cycle since it was first made holy at creation. And it never will change. If you look at quote number 7. God's Sabbath was established in Eden before sin had occurred. And it was the seventh day of creation week. You can find that in Genesis 2 verses 2 and 3. After sin had entered the world, God reestablished the same seventh day Sabbath for all his people to observe and worship him on after the Exodus from Egypt, some 2,500 years after creation had occurred. You can find this in Exodus 16 verses 4 to 31. And Exodus 20 verses 8 through 11. And the very same seventh day Sabbath was observed by Christ and his disciples some 1500 years after the Exodus. And the very same seventh day Sabbath was still to be observed by all of God's people some 33 years after the death of Christ in this new covenant period. We're told in Hebrews 4, verses 4 and 9. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. That's creation. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And Paul was speaking to those in the new covenant period. And when you look up the Greek word for rest, it means the keeping of the Sabbath. So Paul takes us all the way back to creation, telling us that God established the seventh day as his Sabbath and rested therefore. And then he takes us all the way some 4,000 years into the new covenant and says, there remaineth therefore the keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God today. But did you realize that this very same seventh-day Sabbath will continue to be observed after Christ comes again? When sin is forever removed from God's universe and the earth is then made new? We're told in Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 3. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. That's amazing, dear ones. So the Sabbath is a memorial of creation, and it will forever point directly to God as our creator. It was established at creation. It was reestablished after sin in the Exodus. It was still established when Christ and the disciples were on the earth. It was still established in the new covenant after Christ died and was resurrected and ascended to heaven. And it's still the same seventh-day Sabbath when God recreates the heaven and the earth. So the Sabbath is a memorial of creation, pointing back to God as our creator. So you can no more change the seventh-day Sabbath to another day of the week than you can change the day of your birth to another day. You were born, let's say January 1. That is your birthday. It can never change. So the seventh-day Sabbath was born on the seventh day of creation. It can never change. It will always occur on the seventh day. So the seventh day, or Saturday in our modern calendar, is the Sabbath worship day of God, and it will never change. It will remain the Sabbath day to worship God throughout eternity, pointing all the way back to the creation of this world and to the God who made it holy. I pray, dear ones, that God will grant you his spirit of grace and his divine strength to serve and worship him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength on the holy chosen worship day that he made sacred, sanctified, and that you will not worship him on any other day of the week than what he chose, which is Saturday. And in doing so, in keeping God's Sabbath day holy, then you will plainly show to everyone else in this world, in your community, in your family even, that you serve and worship the God of creation and not any other so-called God, and that you desire to receive the seal of the living God and not the mark of a false God. God will make all things possible if it is indeed your desire to serve, obey, and trust in him. Now, next time, we'll continue examining more of the major reasons why people believe that God's Sabbath day has been changed from Saturday to Sunday. And then we'll compare these beliefs with God's inspired word to see if God's word backs it up or not. Remember, we're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, not by words that proceed out of the mouth of men or churches or decrees or state laws. We're to live by every word from God. So we hope to see you then, dear ones. Our closing song is Don't Forget the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today, who said to his disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, he'll give us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. Oh, gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. How precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Amen. And praise God for giving us his word of life, his word of instruction, his word of truth. And for sending us his spirit to lead and guide us into a correct understanding of that truth. If we would just live by a thus saith the Lord and it is written, and not by a thus saith the church, or a thus saith creeds, or a thus saith the fathers, or a thus saith our own selves, right? If we would just live by a thus saith the Lord and follow what the Spirit opens our understanding to, then we will be led and guided directly to Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, and to the very day of worship he's the Lord of. And out of love for what he has done for us, we will be willing to submit our way to his way and to do the things that please him and not ourselves. And that will lead us into worshiping him on his chosen Sabbath day. It's out of love, dear ones, that we decide to change in pleasing God. I pray that the more closely you come to the Savior, the more desire you have to please him from whom all blessings flow. What a wonderful Savior we have, dear ones. Sacrificed everything that we might find life more abundantly. May we be willing to sacrifice for him our beloved Savior. Please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for loving us enough to sacrifice all heaven in sending Jesus. Thank you, Savior, for loving us enough to give your life in order that we might be set free from error, from darkness, and to enter into thy truth. And thank you, Spirit, for sacrificing that we might indeed know and understand and be led into the truth. Thank you for giving us the divine grace and strength to live a new life, to be born again, to be a child of the kingdom and no longer a child of the wicked one, to be children of the day and no longer children of the night. And thank you for opening our understanding to the truths that are found in God's Word in both the Old and the New Testament, and to know that the same seventh-day Sabbath of creation is the same seventh day of the week today. Thank you, Savior, for dying on Friday, for resting in the tomb over all the hours of the Sabbath, and then for resurrecting on Sunday, thereby showing us which day of the week you are Lord of as your Sabbath. Help us to follow your example, irregardless of what churches, even nations, may tell us. Help us to obey and follow you. And thank you for being with us each step of the way. Continue to let your light shine and dispel darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll learn more next time over what people may think and claim versus what God's Word says is truth. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, insights? Go ahead, dear sister.
So one question really is for someone else. But I don't really know how to give an answer like you do. So I want it to be a little more clear. So for those who are working on Sabbath, what is the advice to give them? Because right now, the individual is feeling a little guilty for working on Sabbath, but the schedule is not able to be, changed. The company, it's mandatory for them to work on weekends. So what is some advice for them?
Well, first off, God works 6 days of the week, so Sunday through Friday. And then on Sabbath, he stopped working, and he made it a holy day of rest. And then he says to remember to follow what I've done. So Sunday through Friday are work days. They're not holy days. But the seventh day is a holy day in which no work is to be done. So that's God's will. And so for those who find themselves working on Saturday, working on the Sabbath, and you know that God says not to do so. You need to go to God and you need to repent for breaking his law, because the fourth commandment says, remember to keep holy this Sabbath day. 6 days you're to work, but not working on the Sabbath. So you need to confess that you've broken God's law. You need to repent of it. And repentance involves a change. So then you need to no longer work on the Sabbath. And that involves consequences, right? But God says that if you confess him before men, before your boss, before your coworkers, and so on, then he will confess your name before the Father. And you definitely want Jesus to confess your name before the Father, because then you're worthy of salvation. You're worthy of eternal life, right? So then the consequences belong to God to take care of, because you're making a decision to follow God, and now God is in control of what happens next. So there's been many testimonies that have been given about individuals facing this very same dilemma. Some individuals, they go to their boss, they explain that this is their conviction. They just came to the understanding that Saturday is God's Sabbath, and God forbids them to work upon this holy day. And that out of conviction of following God, you're not going to work on the Sabbath anymore. You're not going to work on Saturday. So then ask your boss if they can make an exception for you, because this is a religious conviction. And if your boss fires you for following your religious conviction, they are then liable for a lawsuit from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, because that is clearly religious prejudice. So a lot of bosses will find another time slot for you to work so that you can keep your religious conviction on Saturday as the Sabbath. But you have to be convicted on it. There's some bosses that will tell you, hey, you have to work Saturday. I can't make any exceptions in your case. And then they'll test you on your conviction. Are you willing to lose your job in order to keep the Sabbath holy? If so, you prove that you're convicted on it. If you bend and compromise, you show that your conviction is not really conviction, right? Yeah, amen. Indeed, go to God in prayer. Let him take this battle in his hands. So take your stand for God. But only if you're convicted that Saturday is his Sabbath day. And again, the Sabbath, we haven't got into it yet, but the Sabbath is from sundown to sundown, from even to even. So it actually begins Friday night at sundown and ends Saturday night at sundown. Even Christ's resurrection shows it. It says, when the Sabbath was ended and it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. So it shows that the ending of the Sabbath is at night, even sundown, and not at the beginning of the day. Because Christ was already resurrected before the sun came up on Sunday. So the Sabbath was ended at night. And carrying that over, the Sabbath begins Friday evening, Friday sundown, when the night begins. It ends Saturday sundown, when the night begins. So in keeping the Sabbath according to creation, according to God's will, the Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday night and ends at sunset on Saturday night. So if you're convicted that God's Sabbath begins sundown Friday and ends sundown Saturday, then that 24-hour period you cannot do any work on. And going to your boss, going to your company, going above your boss's head, which may be necessary, shows and proves that you're convicted on this. It is your religious belief. And for them to fire you in carrying out your religious belief opens them up to a lawsuit from the government. Religious prejudice. Now, there's been other individuals that their boss fired them. So here they are without work. And of course, a lawsuit can take years. And then if the verdict is against the company, they can appeal it. It takes years more, right? So what are you going to do if you're fired from your job and now there's no more income? Again, God is in control. And there has been testimonies after testimonies of individuals who found themselves in this very, very dilemma where they've lost their job. They don't know what they're going to do, but then going to God in prayer, allowing God to lead and guide, he led them directly to another job that gave them the Sabbath off, paid them more in an hourly wage than what they were getting at the previous job. So you have to taste of the Lord that he is good. You have to test the Lord to see if he's going to keep his promises. And of course, there is no if there. God will keep his promises. If you confess Christ, and he's the Lord of the Sabbath, if you confess Christ before men, he will confess your name before the Father, and all blessings proceed from the Father. So you'll have nothing to worry about consequences or repercussions, because you can trust in God's love for your welfare and in his ability to provide. Amen. God is in control. But you have to stand firm for him, no matter how tight the screws of compromise are applied to you. If God says it, that should be enough. Because God never lies. So it all comes with conviction. You've made a choice to follow God because he says it's true. Stand by, thus saith the Lord. Follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Don't get off that rock, Christ Jesus. Be anchored there. And don't remove your anchor. Yeah, amen. It is a test. Your faith in God's ability to provide for you will be tested. But I mentioned a couple Sabbaths ago that God doesn't just want you to sit on the couch waiting for his blessings to fall in your lap. You need to take an active approach in response to your prayers. God, provide me another job, please. Well, you need to go looking. You can't just wait for the job to come to you. So we don't want to be presumptuous here. We want to act in harmony with our faith in God's ability to provide. Yeah, amen. Faith without works is dead. And what I had mentioned before is that there was this Adventist family who had lost... The father had lost the job, and they were down to their very last meal before starvation was going to occur. So they appealed to the church for help, and James White came out to ascertain their situation. and found that the Father was just content to wait for God to provide instead of going out looking for God to provide. So James White said, all you need to do is, if you don't have a steady income, go out and find work. And so James said, I'll show you how to do it. So James went out and went to the neighbor saying, do you need your field mowed? Do you need help with feeding and so on? And one of the neighbors said, yeah, it's time for harvest. I need an extra helping hand in harvesting the field. So James said, okay, I'll do so for 10 cents. And so James went out there and worked and got 10 cents for it. Came back. He bought food and supplies for the family with that 10 cents and showed the husband exactly how he could have provided for his next meal by going out and finding work. So James exercised faith in God's ability to provide, and God provided. The husband was waiting for God to send that dime to him in the mail instead of going out looking for it. Right? So that revealed an important lesson, that if we ask God for help, we need to exert ourselves in finding that help. Go ahead, dear sister.
I needed to share the testimony, because if I don't, then I won't be able to glorify God. And amazing what he had done. I was working in Wall Street, like I spoke earlier, and then when I was working in Wall Street, I had a very good position and things like that. But then when the gospel came to me, I had to make a decision. I quit the job. Like I said, I went to Mexico and I came back. And when I came back, I was looking for a job. And I was saying, Lord, I don't want to go back to Manhattan. So just kind of help me. And believe it or not, the Lord found me another job. And do you know what you have to do when you have to go and take the train, and then you have to dress the part, because, you know, when you dress a certain way, you'll get a better chance to be able to at least give you a chance to go further in the company. Well, the Lord found me a job two blocks away from my home. And I was making the double of what I was working in Wall Street. And you know what? When I was working for magazine company, I came in first because the father hired me, because at that time, you know, the phone cards was becoming very popular, and he had opened a company. And then when he hired me and I started to work for him, then his daughter is the one that asked the father, can she work with me with the magazine? And it was okay because it was a family business. The business was actually in their living room is the office. When I came into the apartment, I was wondering, what kind of address is this? But then when I came into the house, they put a whole area as the office, and I worked with the daughter. Now, the situation is that when I used to receive the tapes from Let There Be Light with all of the information, I started to have a lot of people that was very interested. So I said, Lord, I would like to have at least a day that they can come. They could look at the tape. And I had another VCR on top that while they look at it, I take out one and let them go with it, because I never know if I want to see them again. So I asked the Lord to please give me an extra day. And I didn't know how to say that, because I used to finish my work by Thursday. And then I was just coming in to just open the door and feed the cat. So I was like, I could take the whole day for the purpose of continuing, you know, the ministry with the video. So then I say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And you know, I don't know, people say that they don't hear anything, but I heard when it says, tell her that you have a boss. And I was like, I'm going to tell her that. I'm going to get myself fired. So then after I went to her And then I said, Chana, I'm sorry, but I'm coming on Friday. My work is finished on Thursday, and I'm just coming in, and then you have to come all the way from the warehouse to let me out and close the door. And I said, if it's possible, can I just take the Friday off? And then she says, well, your work is done on Thursday. I said, yes, I finished. She said she would think about it. Okay, I went home. In that week, I was coming in to the office, and she came up and she said, Rosie. And then I said, yes, I'm here. She said, oh my God, I thought you quit. And then I said, I quit? No. She said, no, I dreamt that you quit. She said, by the way, go ahead, take the Friday off. And then I said, Lord, thank you very much. And that's how we started to do the video ministry in the house. It started like that. They used to come into the house and sit. I didn't have no chair because it was a little room I had. And they all sat on the carpet. But that's how the video was being shared when people came that sat down, and they were coming in with more people. Coming in with more people. And then they started bringing chairs. And I was saying, no, this is not a church. This is just, I'm just giving the chance for someone to come and see, and they can take the video with them. But then the Lord, by God's grace, was able to give me Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the double salary that I was working 5 days a week and spending all of that unnecessary money. So I'm just saying that you can really go to God, and He knows the situation before you. And also sometimes these things then come because you want to know how you're going to proclaim Him. And even though I was nervous, and when she did ask me why I needed the day, and then I said, because I have like a little ministry in the house bringing video. And then I said, if I don't get the job to be able to give me that extra day, then I'm going to have to also leave. Because if I have to choose between the job and God's job, then I'm going to have to quit. And that's what I told them.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony, and also for glorifying God and how He worked in your life, dear sister. I've had individuals, Sabbath keepers, that went to their seeking employment in different places, and they come with this type of an attitude. I'm willing to work Sunday through Friday. Any time, holidays, I'll be there. I'm willing to fill in for individuals. I'm willing to work late hours. But I must have from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown off, because that is God's Sabbath day and I worship Him. And you'll be surprised how many people don't want to work on Sunday. So then to finally find someone who's willing to work on Sunday, right? A lot of bosses will say, wow, I can work with that. Yeah, if you're willing to work Sunday and holidays and all the days people want off, hey, you know, I'll give you Saturday. You know, it's, you're going to be one of my best workmen, because I won't have to worry about you not showing up for work on days in which people don't want to work, right? So coming at them through that aspect, you reveal to them that you're actually an asset to hire. You'll be beneficial to their company, because now they have someone that will work on those days that no one else wants to work. So in presenting yourself as an asset, that can go a long way to overcoming the prejudice or the extra work of having to give you Saturday off and find someone else to cover. So yeah, amen. People don't like working holidays, and a lot of people don't like working on Sundays. So if you reveal that you're willing to work on those days, if you can have Saturdays off, can go a long way into encouraging you to be hired. Love and blessings to you also, dear sister and family. Have a blessed new week and looking forward to having you back in fellowship soon. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions, testimonies that you'd like to give, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Years ago, I drove a big truck for two different companies. The first company had another team that drove for him. They claimed to be Sabbath keepers. But he called them one day and just begged them if they wouldn't do a job on Sabbath. They relented and did it. And he didn't think a whole lot of their Sabbath keeping. Excuse me. I don't know if he ever asked us to work on Sabbath or not, but we were the ones that were willing to work on weekdays and holidays and all that. And when some of the other drivers said, how come the Graves guys get to have Saturdays off? And boss said, are you willing to go out on holidays or Saturday night and take a load and go? No. Well, they are, he said. And the second company, we hired on with the understanding that we were Sabbath keepers and we had to have Friday sundown till Sabbath sundown off. And they agreed. Twice during our employment with them, I got phone calls or communication. Dick, we need you to take that trailer over to such and such a place and just drop it. We got to have it loaded. I said, no, this is our Sabbath. Well, he said, we still need that thing picked up. Take the trailer over. You can do what you want as far as Sabbath goes, but take the trailer over on Sabbath and deliver it to get loaded. I said, if the verbal contract under which we started has changed, direct us back to the yard. We'll bring the keys back to you. We did that twice, and we did not back down. And we were never scolded for that. I don't know what the dispatcher did. He said, well, if we were that load, then we don't even need it. Well, the company did need the load. I don't know whether they could get somebody else to go and pick it up or not. But we told them that we didn't work on Sabbath and we would turn in the keys if they insisted. And when we did retire from the company, they begged us to come back. They knew they had a team that would go and deliver things fast and on time. And God blessed us in that regard.
Well, praise the Lord for standing firm for Jesus and confessing him before men. And God honored you by doing so. So thank you, dear brother, for your testimony, standing for your convictions upon God's word of truth. Are there any other testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Before I became a nurse, I worked in the dental field for about 17 years. And one of the regular work days was Sabbath. And I went to the dentist and I said, could we work on Sunday instead of Saturday? And he said, well, I don't know. Ask the gal in charge. So I did. Could we work on Sunday instead of Saturday? Because I go to church on Sabbath. And that's God's holy day. She said, well, what if I want to go to church on Sunday? And I said, well, do you go to church on Sunday? And she didn't. Anyway, they were afraid that the customers or the patients would not like to come in on Sunday and they would lose patience. But they allowed the switch over, and the response was amazing, because so many of the patients said, "We're so glad we can come and work and get our dentistry done on Sunday, because so many of us have to go to work on Saturday." So our patient load increased, and praise God for that outcome, and praise my bosses for listening.
Praise the Lord, Mom. Do you know, Elder Rob, when you want to make a decision like that, you have so many people in your ear. You know, don't do that, you know. Because there was, when I was in Wall Street, I was already 4 years in. I came in as a temp, and I ended up getting a position where I used to elaborate, I was doing like a direct deposit and fraud and things like that, and then they gave me a position to be able to kind of elaborate. Is to help the supervisors based on the report if they will get a raise or not. But evaluate. Thank you. What at the time they were saying, don't leave the company. You're already there for 4 years. Try to stay to the 5th year so you could be able to get your pension. You know, don't leave now. Just wait. But you know, when the Lord tells you to go, even if it is for certain gain, you're going to have to just do it in faith. Elder Rob, I left at 4 years in, and I left it in the Lord. Do you know that the Lord still grant me the pension? He grant me the pension, and even with the problems that I did have trying to receive the money, the Lord allowed even a little bit more than the pension that came. And through that pension, I was able to take care of my son for almost 24 years now. So even when man said it cannot be done, the Lord always find a way. It is scary, but then if you think about who's the one that is in control of all things, even control of my own boss. So that's what I was saying. I have to trust him more than the one that gave me the job. And I just wanted to share that.
Praise the Lord, dear daughter. I have to tell you what happened before I became a nurse. I continued to work for the dentist, and he passed away suddenly. And his wife, who was the manager, who I asked if we could change from work days from Sabbath to Sunday, said to me, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? I was 57 at the time. And I told her, I'm going to go to school and get my nursing degree. And she said, I'll help you. So even God had plans for me after I honored his name by asking if we could work on Sunday instead of Sabbath. God doesn't give up on you. You take the step in his direction, and he carries you through. And praise God for that tremendous love he has for us.
Amen. God be praised. One thing we need to understand is that our faith is going to be tested. Our convictions are going to be tried. But if we stand firm for God, He will make sure everything works out for the best. Our view of what the best is very limited. God's view is not limited. He has 1,000 different ways of bringing deliverance out of something that appears to be impossible. So we need to trust, as we obey God, that He knows exactly how to take care of any consequences and to bring us out of that situation better off than we were before.
That's for the song that we sang, Trust and Obey.
Yeah, amen. Amen. A comment in the room says, so true, He is a God of possibility. All things are possible with God. Amen. Well, dear ones, any last comments, any last thoughts that you'd like to share before we close the service today? Yeah, amen. Don't let fear stand in the way of obedience, of obeying. Amen. Any last thoughts, dear ones? Yeah, that would be nice. A comment in the room says we should have a day of testimonies. That would be wonderful. And I think the day after, or the next service after we have foot washing and communion, it doesn't have to be all made up of questions and answers. It could also be testimonies. And we can take another Sabbath for testimonies as well, because giving glory to God is vitally important to encourage, amen, to encourage, to edify and uplift one another with what the Lord has done and is able to do. So amen. Yeah, amen. And to praise Him. You know, when one of the alien armies, I think it was the Syrian army, came to Jerusalem to destroy it, God said that He would deliver it. I forget which king it was. But it wasn't until the king and his army, led by priests, began to sing praises to God that the deliverance came and the enemy was defeated. And the Bible tells us that God dwells in the praises of His people. So if you want to make sure that you know that God is in your midst, begin to praise Him. He dwells in that praise. In other words, it brings Him to your side and will bring deliverance along with it, just like what happened with Israel. When they began to praise God, that's when He fought against their enemies and delivered them from their foes. So God will do the same thing for you. So if you want to know if God's in your midst or not, begin to praise Him, and then you know He's there. He promises to be there. He dwells in the praises of His people. Dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath and a blessed new week. Continue growing in grace and in knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus. Trust Him more. Obey Him based on convictions of His word. And praise His name, from whom all blessings flow. So pray, watch, work, and praise his name. Looking forward to being back in fellowship with you soon. Until then, dear ones, keep looking up and praise the Lord. Our dear brother's voice is back.
Is it?
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. Thou do not doubt, but keep on looking up.